You are listening to the 54665 podcast, where we talk all things rural economic development, all things small business, and all things Viroqua. Today, I've got two special guests with me. Ladies, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Erin Welty. I'm the Downtown Development Program Manager for Wisconsin Main Street and WEDC. So it's my job to work with all the cute communities in the state with small businesses.
It's good to have you back, Erin.
Good to be here.
And I am Julie Emsley, and I work for WIBIC, and WIBIC stands for the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, and I am the Southwest Wisconsin Regional Coordinator. And I guess particular to this podcast, WIBIC is one of the strongest partners of another entity called Kiva. For example, in the state of Wisconsin, all the Kiva staff, aside from maybe Erin's unique role that she'll talk about, are based and housed in our offices. And Wendy, who is our president, has been a huge advocate from Kiva from the beginning. So she's done with our organization, has done a lot of work of making sure Kiva has a strong presence here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you back too, Julie. So let's talk about, what is Kiva exactly?
I'll take that one. So Kiva is a crowd lending platform. So lots of people have heard of Crowdstarter and Indiegogo and all the places where you just ask people out of the goodness of their heart or for the promise of a t-shirt to contribute to their pet cause. Kiva is a program to provide businesses with financial assistance to undertake projects that benefit their customers or the community through lending. So Julie lends me $25 toward my new ice cream cooler. And then once I buy the cooler and sell ice cream cones, I pay her loan back through the platform, and she can then lend it to Nora's yoga studio and its new, hot yoga mats or something like that.
Yeah, and I would say another key distinction between Kiva as a crowdfunding platform in comparison to the ones that people are really familiar with, like Kickstarter and Indiegogo and all those, is not only is it a lending platform where everybody contributes, gets their money back because it's lent and not just given, but it's also a vetted program. So everybody who goes public on the Kiva website has gone through a process to ensure that they're that it's a viable business opportunity. So, and that's another thing too, is that all of the Kiva loans are for businesses specifically. So it could be for almost any business need, but it is specifically for businesses.
So why would anyone use Kiva versus just going to a bank? What's the incentive to do that?
Well, Kiva is 0%, so most banks
that's
don't
a good
lend
incentive.
At 0%.
Yeah, right?
0% interest, yeah.
Free money is usually a good incentive. And the way I always pitch it to our businesses is that not only is it capital that you really need to get this project off the ground, and oftentimes much sooner. I mean, it might take me 5 years to earn that money and save it up to buy a cooler, but I can do it tomorrow. But it's also a marketing tool. So if I have my customers that have invested in this new project that I'm doing, they're much more likely to come buy that ice cream from me because their money is in my business and they want me to be successful. And they think about that when they're choosing where to shop. So Kiva is a great marketing tool and a way to help a business relate to their customers more intimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think another aspect, I mean, the 0% interest, no fees, of course, is a really big thing. So if you, get a loan for $5,000, that's how much you pay back. You don't pay a dollar more than that, a penny more than that. But another thing, too, is it's a very non-traditional financing tool in that, most traditional financiers are looking at your collateral and your credit history and, a full-fledged business plan, things like that. Whereas Kiva uses a different underwriting system, which they more heavily rely on social capital. So basically they're looking for, they're using that borrower's network as a tool to ensure that they are worth lending to, as well as other things like trustee organizations. And that's like a role that WIBIC plays with this. So for people who might struggle to get bank financing and who also are looking for a small loan, since Kiva is a microloan, the max that you can get the first time around is $10,000. Kiva is a good tool because it looks at totally different things to see whether you would qualify as a borrower than a traditional bank or even like a CDFI like WIBIC would look at.
Okay.
Well, to go back, the Kickstarter comparison, you have to pay taxes on money that you raise through crowdfunding projects, but this is a loan that you're paying back. So not an accountant, but you don't have to pay taxes as if it's a gift.
I see. So walk me through a process. I'm a person that owns a flower shop. I need $10,000. How do I do this?
Sure. So you can go directly to the Kiva website and you could go ahead and start your application. And it's a relatively brief application to start off with. The information that you do submit is actually what goes on to that populates your public profile that'll go on the website. That process, that application too, then goes into Kiva, and then Kiva will queue the specific people that might be applicable to. So in the state of Wisconsin, WBIC will be flagged and they'll say, hey, here's a business owner that we see that falls within your territory. Aaron's specific focus too is for business owners who are in a Main Street or Connect community. So she'll be flagged as well, as far as like, these are resources, people that we want to connect you with. Through that, then Kiva on their end will review the application, and then those of us who are flagged will reach out to the business owner with the resources that we have. At WBIC, that means that we can be a trustee organization. So what we do is we connect with the business owner, we see their application, figure out what they're applying for money for, and then we decide whether or not we're going to endorse them. And we have a pretty basic process to do that. And basically what that means is we're putting our weight behind that borrower. So when they go on to go public on the Kiva website, WBIC will be attached to them and it'll say, hey, like, we've connected with this borrower. We're also saying this borrower is, you know, worthy of being lent to and that they will pay back their loan. So I don't know, Aaron, if you want to talk about the Connect community aspect of it, is that?
Sure. So we recognize that there are lots of, Kiva programs kind of in the Milwaukee area, but most of what my work is in the rest of Wisconsin that's not in the Milwaukee area. So we actually put $100,000 into a Kiva fund as WDC in Main Street. And so businesses that are in our Main Street and Connect communities that are women, minority, or veteran owned, which is a good chunk of the businesses on Main Street, get a double dollar basically. So we match any funds that they are able to raise through the platform. So it lets them raise money a lot faster, because every time Nora donates $25, we put in another $25. And also it makes them twice as likely to be successful because they just have that much less that they have to raise. Mm-hmm. And we also...
That's a good perk.
Vet them in addition to WBIC. So we also reach out to the local community liaison because we have a Nora in all of our communities. I mean, Nora's unique and a unique butterfly, but we have a Nora-like person in all of our communities. And they also say, yeah, you know, we're aware of that business. They've been in business in our community. We love to see them grow because we don't want to fund businesses that are problem children for mm-hmm. their communities.
Yeah. And then I would say too, so once that happens too, and these are kind of all happening at the same time while the Kiva folks are reviewing the application and the WBICs and the, you know, the WDCs of this world are connecting with the potential borrower, what ends up happening too is we all come together and Kiva comes back to the borrower and says, okay, to start this process, we're going to do a private fundraising period. And that private fundraising period is 2 weeks. And essentially what they do is they go to the borrower and say, give them a number typically between 10 and 30 people and say, we want you to go and get this many people to contribute to your Kiva campaign. And once they do that, then it will go live on our website for our, you know, millions of borrowers to contribute to. And that number is based off a number of factors, like that number of, say, 17 people. Like they would say, Nora's Yoga Studio, we want you to get 17 people. Well, maybe that would come from, well, how long have you been in business? What's the size of loan you're looking for? Do you have a trustee backing you? And they have an algorithm that they use, to determine that. And then once you get that, essentially they'll send you the link where your application can only be accessed through that link. And so then you can spread that however you want. You can put it in your e-newsletter, you can put it on Facebook, you can send it to a group email, but essentially the only way anybody would be able to find your profile would be if they had that specific link. If they went to the Kiva website that's public, they wouldn't be able to find it otherwise. So So then when you do that and people go on and contribute, again, once you hit that number, automatically you go public on their website. So then anybody can find you. And that's where this like idea of social capital comes in. So essentially what Kiva's looking at, they're not looking at those traditional things I talked about, like with credit store and collateral and cash flow and all those things. They're looking at your social capital. So if we know that 17 people who know you and know your business and they're willing to to contribute to you and, you know, risk potentially not getting paid back, then when they can put their weight behind you too and realize that when it goes public on the website, those people for the larger public knows that as well. They can say, look, this person has people in their community that thinks that this is a good idea and that this person is worth, you know, contributing money to. And so that's kind of how it works.
So how involved is the Kiva pitch for each of these businesses? I know that some of the other crowdfunding type sites can get rather involved. You have the like very beautiful videos that accompany things. Then you have the maybe less resources are available and they're just using pictures or like lots of text. Is there assistance for the businesses who are trying to get these funds through Kiva or through Main Street or through WIBIC? How does this work exactly? And are is the messaging as sexy as some of the messaging I've seen on other platforms?
The story is important, and it is everything today is visual. So mm-hmm. you are raising money on social media. So the picture that's your profile picture is really important, and there's really specific guidelines. So I know that's something I've gone back with several of our borrowers and been like, no, that's not a good enough. Like, you don't have your beautiful cake in the picture. You need to show what you're doing. And so we will provide guidance and I can connect them with folks locally who can maybe help them if that's something they particularly struggle with. But it's not nearly as involved as a Kickstarter program. I mean, you have mm-hmm. a video, you have a picture, you have, here's about me and here's about what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it all sounds very complicated, but this can move. If you have an application and you really know what you're trying to do, you can get it through in like 3 days and go into that private fundraising period. So it can be a quick turnaround if you really want to move quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the application, what you fill out in your application is what goes on to populate the website. So I know people have used some of the other fundraising or crowdfunding campaign websites and platforms that it's been really difficult for them to figure out how they get their text to fit in or what information, whereas Kiva does have a framework that they make it as streamlined as possible. So there's three basic questions that they ask, you know, tell us about yourself, what are you trying to get money for, what is your business concept essentially. And so it's also easier for those of us who are lenders to go on and get the information we need, because it's the same framework for each profile. So that's a key component. And then Kiva has all sorts of templates and resources that they can use. They have, whether it's like Twitter postings or email templates, Facebook postings, things that you can do and tips that you can do to help promote. But this is another thing that makes Kiva very unique as far as online crowdfunding, is it's one of the most successful platforms for people to reach their fundraising goal. And I don't know the exact numbers, but there's pretty strong disparity between your typical crowdfunding success rate of reaching the goal they're looking for and that of Kiva's. And Kiva's just so unique in that way, because essentially, like Aaron was saying, when somebody goes on to lend to somebody's business, they get that money back and it goes back into their Kiva account, which they can draw at any time. It's facilitated through PayPal, who's a strong supporter of Kiva's. They can draw that money out, but what they end up doing is that they just go on and contribute to the next person. So you have people, like I know me personally, have money in my Kiva account right now, and every once in a while I'll go on and I'll be like, okay, well, who else do I send this to? And then in the meantime, someone else I know kind of comes along and is starting a new campaign, so I put more money in my account. And so it just keeps like lending out over and over again. And that's also why you kind of have this like captive audience that are looking to contribute to these campaigns.
And I know we've had several of our businesses that have gotten somebody from Ireland to fund them. Totally. And there's a florist in Waterhouse. She's like, somebody from Ireland, they read my story. She was so empowered by this random person who had seen their post. But my vision is that every community that has a main street would have a local pool of funders that whenever there's a new cool business in town, those people are already exist. No one pulls their money out. I don't need my $50 back to buy coffee. So I'm going to put it in more businesses. And if we can just create that lending community within each main street, it'd be so powerful. So that's really what I hope to get to.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
right
I
now, I'm just
that.
Trying to get $100,000 out the door. But
right. Let's talk about some of the types of businesses that are eligible for this. Any type of business that is a nonprofit entity considered a business? Who is eligible to use this service?
I very rarely have seen anybody get turned down. I mean, it really is any business concept and any business need. Now, again, Kiva is a very personalized lending experience. It's so unique. So we'll have people who will come with an idea that they need money for their business, and we'll kind of work with them and say, well, that might not appeal as much to people, depending on what
it is. You can't be an Uber driver, and you can't do like LuLaRoe or like be a multi-level marketer. I think like check cashing doesn't qualify. Not that anyone's going to start an entrepreneurial check cashing business.
Right. Offering education, if you're a plumber that offers classes, mm-hmm. or if all of those things would qualify.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is worth saying, but like I've seen like I've been working with Kiva since it first started in 2012 stateside, and like we had some marijuana businesses. I was in Alaska at that time that were starting to, and we just had a law passed there while I was working there for legalization, and so we had some people reaching out. But again, so at that time I know they shied away from participating with those businesses. I don't know if that's changed, but
I think sin businesses are still not particularly appealing. And not contracting businesses. But I think we have four in the Main Street pipeline right now. So we just had a boutique open up in Racine, the Orange Thread Collective. We have an art studio that does classes in Beaver Dam. We have a float studio that does the water floating beds buying. And we have a stroller fitness business that's opening in Kenosha. So it's a huge variety.
Yeah, stroller fitness sounds really fascinating.
Yeah.
Fun. I did those when my kids were little.
Yeah. I've heard about them. I've just never attended one.
And I know here in Vernon County, we've had like Wisco Pop is a business that, that had a successful Kiva loan. They're actually will make their last payment coming in February. And then we have ENS Pastures was another business, a farm business that used their funding to help do some succession planning. They were acquiring a farm from from an existing farmer. So just a couple that are local here.
I know the ag ones lend much faster than others. It's hugely popular.
Yeah, and agricultural businesses, since Kiva launched stateside, Kiva has seen that they're some of the most trustworthy borrowers, essentially. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that that have repeatedly paid back their loans on time, and didn't run into any issues with deferrals or anything like that. So so I know, going back to like that algorithm of how many people they determine, farmers are somebody that they do take into account what kind of industry you might be from. Mm-hmm. So.
And Julie's mentioned several times the repayment rate, but it's almost like 90%, right around there. So while you're not supposed to put more money in than you'd be willing to lose because there's no promise that you'll get repaid, the vast majority of borrowers pay back their loans and those dollars kind of recirculate in the community.
And one of the questions I get asked a lot whenever I'm sharing about Kiva is for people who are interested in being lenders, because anybody can go on and lend. We're talking about the businesses who can go on and get the loan, but anybody can go on and lend. So like it is this concept of, if you know somebody in your community that needs, $5,000 to launch their business, and if we all had $25 extra that in our pocket that we were like, oh, sure, let's all pitch it in and they'll pay us back in a few years. I mean, it's around that that same concept. So I totally lost my train of thought.
No, it was good, though. Yeah. I think one of the questions that so many people are going to have who are listening is, how long does this process really take? What is the repayment schedule? Is the repayment schedule similar to what it would be for a normal loan? Are they repaying back at $250 a time, $500 a time, $100 at a time? What does that look like? So the process start to finish, it sounds like it's fairly easy. You apply online. You're directed to different people who can assist in the process. You go live, you get funded most of the time. And then what happens after you receive the award? So let's say it's $5,000. What is the payment schedule look like?
So the money's when you reach your full amount that you're fundraising for, the money's deposited in your PayPal account within days of that happening, a few business days. And then there's typically a 1 month grace period. So there'll be a month after that that no payment is due. And then depending the payback period, the maximum payback period is 3 years, 36 months. And they can be as short as 1 year. So typically that's most decided on the size of your loan. So $10,000 loans are automatically 36 months payback. And then it's equal payments across that time period. So for a $10,000 loan over 36 months, it's about, you know, $280 each month that's due. On occasion, too, depending on the business, they do grace periods longer than the 1 month. So for seasonal businesses, like farming businesses, we've mentioned like that it's not uncommon for them to do a 6 month grace period right off the bat, or for new businesses. So sometimes that 36 months will get extended only because the first 6 months there weren't any payments due. But basically whatever your loan amount is, the term on it will be between 1 to 3 years, and it'll be equal payments throughout that whole time.
And there's no interest. You don't have to amortize things.
Nope.
Or calculate things or anything like that.
Exactly.
Because this seems like such a no-brainer, like why wouldn't anyone do this all the time? Why aren't more communities super, super involved in this? Because it seems like a win-win for everybody involved. I guess my question is, why isn't the use of this fantastic tool higher?
Well, it hasn't been around that long in the United States. It's been around in other countries longer. So people don't know. I mean, and it's very new to Wisconsin. So mm-hmm. I'm on the road show giving presentations like this. And people, you know, largely haven't heard of it. And the biggest objection that I get is, well, I don't want to ask people mm-hmm. for charity. Because Wisconsinites are anti, you know, putting themselves out there, anti-charity. And so it takes a lot of like, you're not asking for charity. You're going to pay them back. They are your customers. They want to help see you succeed. And you have to get over kind of the mental hurdle. But that's usually the biggest.
Yeah, that's what I see a lot. It's funny because especially on the topic of rural development, we've seen Kiva as a really great tool because we see rural businesses sometimes struggle to fit in. You know, they're non-traditional, and so they struggle to fit into this traditional financing structure. So Kiva can be a really good opportunity for them. But on the flip side, too, rural, on that spectrum of like not wanting to ask other people for money, rural residents in particular are very much, you know, self-sufficient. So there is this idea of like, I don't want to go around and ask my friends to give me $50, even if you're going to pay them back, right? So there's that. And also, I want to keep this personal. So I think there can be pushback on that side. I do always remind our borrowers that, you know, it's up to them to decide whether they want to utilize this resource, but to not feel that if they're ever needing more capital for their business, that's a bad thing. The most successful businesses are always looking for ways to
using other people's money.
Exactly. Whether it's investors, they're always looking for financing. So if to never feel like that's a negative reflection on their business, if they don't have the money that they need to grow their business, that's a common concept for, like I said, the most successful huge businesses. So,
and while the process is fast, you do have to like get your ducks in a row and stop and take a step back and put together your picture. And just for some businesses that are flying at 800 miles an hour, even that is asking a lot. I mean, it's a good business practice to do, but then they're like, no, I'll put it in my credit card. I'll do it. I'm like, which is bad, but that's, you know, sometimes people get in that cycle and you have to kind of stop and put things together.
And I'd say two other things. It is an online platform. So we all still have varying levels of comfort when it comes to being online. And so, of course, we've seen through our work with Kiva, the people who have the strongest online presence through social media and otherwise can be very successful. But I've seen the other be the case. You know, one of the farmers that I saw who doesn't have much of an online presence at all has a huge community. So was able to reach out and get contributors to their campaign. So that's another area too, where people, depending on their comfort. And then the other thing is that, you know, it does max out at $10,000, and that's all relative. $10,000 to some people and some businesses is a lot of money. And then to others, it's like a drop in the bucket. And so if they're trying to figure out a larger financing picture and they need, you know, $500,000 or more, $10,000 isn't worth the effort that's going to go into it, even though it's 0% interest and no fees.
Mm-hmm. But that $10,000 can mean the absolute world to...
Yeah, small business,
for
sure. The
person with one employee on a main street somewhere. So that's really, it's a very cool thing. What about using Kiva more than once? Can people apply, use the funds, pay it back, and then start again?
Yeah, so we actually, I know in Madison, we just had one thousand is just finished their second Kiva campaign, their $10,000 Kiva campaign. So so we do have folks go back to the drawing board. And that's something too, one of the things that Kiva will do, especially for a business that's just starting out, that maybe doesn't have a trustee or doesn't have, like, it's just getting out the door and there might be some concern that, you know, we don't want to give them a full $10,000 loan. They'll do sometimes these credit, what they'll call credit builder loans as well. So maybe it'll be $1,000. We'll have a 6-month payback period just to kind of prove their credit worthiness to, because Kiva, of course, needs to protect itself from the people that anybody who goes on and lends. So they want to do their due diligence in their own ways. So those people, it's actually set up in a way that they'll do one Kiva loan and then they'll come back again. And so typically, as a general rule of thumb, if you've successfully raised and then paid back a Kiva loan, you could typically double that the next time around, just depending.
Yeah, that's great. Any other insights that you have about Kiva or some things that listeners should know that are still a little bit unsure if this is the right platform for them to get their funding?
I think if you have that project that's easy to explain, so the ones that I've seen that are the best are where your yoga studio is going to offer a new kind of class. So you need to send your teachers to training and that's $3,000. And then when they come back, you can now take Bikram yoga or whatever. Or I need an ice cream cooler so I can now do Scoopy ice cream because that's what everybody in my community has just wanted, an ice cream parlor in town. Or the florist in Watertown wanted to do a holiday basket, so she needed to buy the inventory. So she could do made local in Watertown basket. So a very tangible thing that has a limited time and is easy to say, hey, this is what I really want to do. This is, you know, who my market is. Those are easy. It's harder to explain, like, I want to, you know, have a business succession plan and do a marketing campaign. I mean, those are a little harder to sell. But if you have a tangible thing, it's
really simple. Like, if you're like, I need working capital to get my business out the door so I can process payroll and, you know, cover the rent or whatever, like, that's not, you know, as sexy, yeah. I guess.
And you can't repay bad debt. That's the other thing you can't it. So you can't be multi-level marketing. You can't do Uber driving and you can't repay your bad decisions from previously.
And I would say that the thing I would add to, like, you know, we always put so much focus on letting the business owners or potential Kiva borrowers know about it, but also just anybody can be a lender. And that's one thing I would encourage people to do. It is a really neat platform that's really trying to help get money into the hands of people who can't access capital otherwise but are deserving of it. Mm-hmm. So you can go on, it's great to go on and see, and you can search by industry, you can search by geographic location, you can search by demographics if you're looking for certain things, contributions are as little as $25. So if everybody, you know, if you went on and you just wanted to play with it, you could look for businesses and then you can loan to them $25. And depending on their payback period, a year later or whatever, you can reloan that to somebody else. So that would be something that I would encourage everybody to do.
Yeah. And while Wisconsin businesses are obviously the best, if you want to help farmers in Honduras, like, you should by all means do that too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. You can help all over the world. What is the best way for listeners to get in touch with both of you if they have additional questions?
I mean, if they're interested in Kiva, they should just go on and start the application, and one of us will get an email if you're in Viroqua, because then you'll know what you're asking questions about.
And that's kiva.org. So kiva.org is the Kiva website. And then to get in touch with me, really, WIBIC is the best place to with our organization. So WIBIC is wwbic.com. And depending on where you're located, I might not be the best person to reach or to get in contact with, but we have, you know, a robust contact portion of our website, so you can contact the best person for you.
Fantastic. Anything else, ladies? Any final thoughts?
Be a lender.
Yeah, be a lender.
Help small business.
Yeah, that's great. Well, all right. Well, Julie Emsley and Aaron Welty, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.